Cool. Well, morning. It's great to be here. I'm bringing the hellos from Shoreham. We just love seeing what you guys are up to, keeping an eye on Facebook and the city and stuff, and finding out what's going on, the events you're doing and stuff. So it's so good to all be sort of doing the same thing, but across different parts of the city. Like I said, I'm just bringing the hellos from Shoreham, and I'm sure they would say the same thing. So, what are we going to be doing this morning? Well, we're going to be looking at the art of community. In the next part in our series, you might have heard of this 3Ms thing dotted around here, there, maybe on a Sunday, maybe small groups. And that stands for mission, message, and multiply. So, Joel Virgo, who you often get on the DVD, same as us, has been speaking on the message. Over the last few weeks, you've probably had two, back to back, on the message. So the good news is the message, the good news of Jesus, the way it transforms our lives, transforms the way we think and the way we live. But that message isn't just for us. It's not just for us to keep to ourselves and enjoy for ourselves. Actually, we're on a mission, which is what I'm speaking on this morning, to tell people about this message, to share the message with others. So it's going to be quite practical this morning. I've been very well informed by some of these guys down here. You're a lively crowd. A lot more lively than the guys were in Shoreham at 9 o'clock in the morning. Amazing. I got there and I was still like half asleep and they were ready to go. So those guys are doing a great job. But yeah, so we're going to have a bit of fun with it. It's going to be quite practical. There'll be opportunities to get involved as well. So when we decide we're going to talk about mission, there's sort of key questions that come up. You know, how do we do it? What is it? Why do we do it? Where do we do it? When do we do it? All these questions are brilliant questions. I'm hoping this morning we'll cover some of those together. So we're going to look at a number of passages in the Bible from the Gospels, which is in the New Testament, just detailing out Jesus' life. And we're going to be looking at Jesus this morning, learning off him. So a key verse for us, we'll start with Jesus this morning, is John 20:21. It should come up on the screen. It says, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." That's our key verse this morning. So if you're writing that down, that's the one to get hold of. So Jesus, the way he lived his life, the way he went about his day-to-day ministry, the way he went about talking to people and hanging out with people, he's calling us to do the same thing. He's calling us to learn from what he did and do it in the same way. So we're going to look at 5 missional things that Jesus did. We're going to look at that together. I'm just going to pray and then we'll get started. Jesus, we thank you for the perfect example that you are, that we can learn so much from you, that we can read through the Bible and just see just what an amazing man you were, how sacrificial you were, how incredible you were. And I pray this morning as we study a bit of your life, you'd help us to change, you'd help our hearts to be excited by the mission you've called us to do. And Holy Spirit, I pray, would you be with us, be with me as I speak, help me to communicate well. Amen. Amen. So, 5 missional things. Nice and easy to remember. They fit really nicely into the word bless. Really easy to remember. I'm going to give you the first one this morning. And then what we're going to do is we're going to see, if you already know, you're not allowed to join in. We're going to see if you can guess the other 4. I might let you come in at the end if no one can get it. We had some amazing suggestions last week when we looked at this together in Shoreham. So we'll see if we can top those. So the first one, it's a bit tricky, so I'll give you it's begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. If it was just prayer, it sort of wouldn't really work in a word, so we'll go with begin with prayer. Jesus blessed people wherever he went. He was a guy who just wanted to serve people, help people. You know, read about miracles and teaching and stories that he told. But sort of the foundation of all of that was this incredible prayer life. It wasn't just sort of a religious babble with some words that, you know, long words that sound impressive. Actually, it was sort of genuine communication with God, genuine communication with his Father. So we're going to look at 2 verses quickly, and then we'll sort of unpack them a bit. The first one's from Mark, chapter 1, 35. It says, "Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So Jesus getting up early in the morning, going out and praying, getting before God, asking him things, spending time with him, enjoying being with God through prayer. So that's the way Jesus did it. So what do we do? How does that work for us? If we sort of jump a bit further forward into Ephesians, a book written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, it says this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk into them. So we read that, we think, yeah, okay, do good works. Get to God, do good works, all good. We could leave with that. We could think, that's it, that's what this verse is talking about. But sort of, we could miss this little bit in the middle that's going to come up here. It says, which God prepared beforehand. God's prepared us to walk into these opportunities to do good works. You know, we don't have to muster up this opportunity or muster up this environment or this situation. Actually, we just get to walk into these. Pray, get before God, pray and ask him for these opportunities, and we just walk into them. You know, cross paths with people, maybe at work or at school gate or, you know, something like that, neighbours in the morning. You just sort of cross paths with people. We've got this opportunity to show them something of Jesus. So you sort of, when we read this, we think, actually, you know, we can live a little bit on purpose, if that makes sense. Live on purpose, really knowing that God's got something for us each and every day. It's not just on a Sunday or a small group evening. Actually, God's got something for us every single day. We get before him and pray. We find out what that is. So the outward side of mission, going and telling people of Jesus, the only way we can do that is by starting place of prayer. Starting in a place of prayer, just enjoying time with God, really getting our hearts right with God. It gives us this opportunity. You know, it's not always easy, is it? Like, honestly, I'm not going to stand up here and say this is the easy thing to do. It's not always easy. It's hard to tell people about Jesus sometimes. It's difficult. But actually, what we get to do by coming to God at the start of the day, we're distraction-free from our, you know, emails and things like that throughout the day. But also, it gives us a chance to just really align our heart with God again. Actually hear from God, see what he wants to say to us on that day. Just enjoy it. Straightens us out. You know, if we're thinking, I don't really want to do this today, actually, you know, we get to before God and say that. He just wants to hear what's on your heart. You don't have to come with what you think you should say. Just come and say what it is that's on your heart. So we do that. We begin with prayer and we go out in the day. And when we go out and you sort of, the missional side of it, the doing, the act, the public side, just go for it. Be bold. We read all through the Bible that God is with us, that we can trust him, that he's going to be with us in those situations. When you step out and speak, actually God honours boldness. You step out and tell someone, he'll honour that. He'll be with you in that moment. Jesus started with prayer, so that's always a good example for us. Before he sort of began preaching and teaching, often the things we look at, you know, we've looked at already. Before he started any of that, he spent 30 years without, he was 30 years old when he started that. So that's 30 years of solid prayer. It's 30 years of just getting before God and enjoying God before he started a public ministry. I'm not saying you should just sort of not talk to anyone for 30 years, lock yourself away and spend time praying. You know, that's not what I'm saying, but it's just a good example and helpful. You know, before he actually began, the day before, or the 40 days before he began his ministry, he had 40 days of prayer and fasting. Again, not saying don't eat and drink for 40 days before you talk to your neighbor and ask them how their day was, but actually it's an example for us. It shows us that importance of a place of prayer. I want us to look at another verse now. Luke 6:12 says this. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, who he named apostles. So that is Jesus. If you've read any of the sort of accounts of Jesus, he had 12 guys around him, 12 core guys, 12 guys in his small group, you know, guys that he was always with. And before he picked those guys, he went and prayed. He went and asked God who he should pick. Now, if Jesus, who is fully God, had to go and ask for who these 12 people he should pick is, how much more do we need to go and pray and ask God for these appointments? Because if you look at this lineup that he picked, like the 12 guys, it wouldn't be like, you wouldn't have gone through their CVs and thought, yeah, that definitely that one. Actually, they were a little bit risky, some of them, but actually God gives us faith for people when we go to pray. You know, you pray about your small group, maybe your neighbours, and he'll say, you know, sometimes we'll feel God saying, I want to use that person. Actually, you get to then invest in them, a little bit of a secret in that moment, God saying, come on, I want to do something with this person. And that's, you know, that's what we see with Jesus when he picked those things. Now, when we pray, things happen, right? Yeah? I was here at your baby Thanksgiving a few weeks ago. That is proof that prayer works, isn't it? It's amazing just to hear. Like, I knew about one of the stories, and I sat here and I was thinking, amazing. You guys, prayer life for you guys here is just incredible. For Stephen and Bill and the other team here, just their prayer life is amazing. God does stuff when we pray. So how, what's the application of this for us? How do we work this out for ourselves? What do we take home from this first point? Well, maybe you're thinking, I don't really pray much, or I don't pray at all, actually. How do I begin this prayer thing? Well, simply, why not try and do it once between now and sort of next Sunday? And just try and pray once. Just ask God, who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to say something nice to? Who do you want me to encourage today? Simple prayer, doesn't have to be anything big. Nice, short, snappy, and I promise you, God will meet you in that place. God will speak to you. So be encouraged. It doesn't have to be anything big and fancy. Maybe you say, I'm a now and then prayer. Pray, when times maybe are good or hot or bad, I just sort of get before God. Or, and there are seasons. We do go through seasons of busyness. I'm self-employed, so it varies. I could have no work for a while and I've got loads of time to pray, and then the next minute I've got loads of work, so I'm having to really fight for time to pray. So there are seasons, that we go through, and that's okay. But I wonder, if you're a now and then prayer, why don't you just try and begin your day with prayer? Why don't you just try? And your day might be different if you're a shift worker. It might not be 6 o'clock in the morning. If you've got kids, it might not be 4 o'clock in the morning before they get up. But actually, it could be a different part of the day for you. You could find that day. And maybe you're a regular prayer. You think, yeah, I pray all the time. Like, I get before God almost every day. You're not religiously. You're not doing it because I'm saying you should do it. Or, we're doing it because we want to spend time with God. We want to enjoy him. So you're thinking, I do that. So I challenge you to dream bigger, to pray bigger prayers this morning. If we pray small prayers, God will give us small things. If we pray big prayers, God will give us big things. So it's really simple. Why would we not go and ask God for big things? There's a brilliant book by Paul Miller. It's called A Praying Life. And that just transformed for me the way I pray completely. Just really changed the way I think about prayer, the way I get before God, how he's so interested in what's going on in my heart and not necessarily in me using fancy words. Actually, he just wants to know what's happening for me, get before God and just talk to him. Prayer is just conversation with God. So that's the application for that this morning. So I challenge you to try one of those, whether or not you fit into any of those categories. Okay, begin with prayer. Moving on to the L, anyone. If you know it, don't shout out. Lie. Someone shouted that out at Shoreham as well, actually. How do you respond to that? Lie down. That's what you meant, obviously, wasn't it? Anyone else? Anyone other than Sean? Come on. Love. Listen. I heard it over there. Listen, Kevin. Good work, Kevin. Listen. The L is for listen. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with someone and you just feel like they're not really listening at all. Like, maybe they're like writing something down or playing on their phone. Just saw loads of people go, what? You get these conversations and you think, I don't really know if I could say anything right now. And you just be going, yeah, yeah. And you think, what is that? Or, I love this one, okay? I'm sure you've all had this situation. You're chatting with someone and you're like, don't really know if they're listening. They've not really said anything for a minute or so. I'll stop where I am and see what they have to say about it. So you stop waiting for this word of wisdom to come through and they go, yeah. What does that even mean? Like, yes has nothing to do with the conversation that I've just been talking about. Or maybe you've come across the immediate problem solver, men in the room, maybe. I am myself, do it regularly, find myself thinking, okay, my job's quite logical, that's not an excuse. But it is. And so I think through how to solve problems. So you're sort of saying to me, okay, so I've got this thing going on, and I'm sort of listening, but in my head I'm going, right, there's your issue. So if we move to here and you do that, that takes us to here, which is good. And there you go, it's solved. And then I'll say, I've got the answer to your problem. I'm not looking for an answer. I just want someone to listen to me. Shut up and listen. And so we get, we get those conversations regularly. Looking at Jesus again in John 4, he has a conversation with a woman at a well, and it's like a dialogue. It's not just him listening. Actually, there's a conversation going. He's changing his questions. I like to call that active listening, changing your questions based on what the person is saying, not just going, yes, 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 sorry, yes. Listening to what they're saying. I don't know about you, but the last 2 weeks have been, I'd say challenging. Get home, long day, and you think, right, you know what, I just could just do some downtime. Crash out on the sofa, flick the TV on. And you're like, where is all the football? Where is it? 30 days. I watched it every day for 30 days, and I come home and I can't find anything. What is going on? Luckily, pre-season friendlies have started, and the Premier League will be back anytime soon. So, you know, if you're like me, panic can be over. You've got things like the transfer window you can be enjoying as well. But I don't know if you noticed the sort of interview questions that they had. So you sort of, you have this, you know, maybe at the end of an England game, there's the guy interviewing one of our players, and it was always funny anyway to listen to them try and speak. But you sort of say, yeah, he says to him, so how's it feel to score your first goal for your country? And the guy's like, yeah, it's a good time. I just want to thank my manager and my mum for giving me lifts everywhere and just really thankful that he passed me the ball. And cool. So he's talked a bit about his mum, his manager. Why not just try and ask him a question about that? And the guy goes, what do you think about the red card? You're like, that's got nothing to do. You're not listening. You've come with this list of questions, which I think is hilarious, but not helpful. You know, if you come with this list of questions when you're listening to someone, they get the feeling they're not interested. You know, I wonder, picture the scene of Jesus sitting on the beach with one of the disciples and pouring his heart out, saying, you know, this is going on, I'm really struggling with that. And Jesus thinking, man, what shall I eat tonight? I haven't seen Peter for a while. Maybe I'll give him a go around his house, see if we go out, get some food. No, like, it's not going to happen, is it? Jesus will be listening, engaged with them, really hearing their heart and trying to understand it. So recently, as a team in Shoreham, we've been praying for more and more opportunities like this, just to listen to people. You know, like I said, those appointments, those sort of opportunities that God's prepared beforehand, really praying that we get hold of them. And after our Sunday evening service 2 weeks ago, we went down to the pub to watch the World Cup final, which was disappointing. But we went down and we're sitting in the pub and this guy was sitting next to me and it was the sort of second half kicked off and I leant over and said, hey mate, who's going to win? He was on his own. I thought, I'll just try and see if he'll... And he could have literally just said, Argentina. Turned around, but okay, get it. You don't want to talk, that's fine. But he said, well, actually, what I think is going to happen... And it was like this like analysis before it, you know, I missed most of the second half as this guy like poured out why Argentina were going to win. And what I did in that moment, having sort of been preparing this and thinking it through and really sort of trying to work out, you know, I'm not standing up here saying this is how we do it because I've done it. You know, I'm standing up here going, this is what we're doing as a church. We're trying to work this out, really help us to get hold of this. So I just listened to him, asked him questions. He moved on from football to his family, to how he got down to Shoreham. It just went round and round and round. And at the end of it, I thought, I don't know what to do now. I need to go home. You finished talk. What? How do you finish that conversation? So I just thought, okay, I'll just say, you know, nice to meet you. Yeah, if you come down here again, you know, maybe, you know, I'll see you down again. And just as I went to leave, he said, hey, look, I'd love to meet up this week and just tell you more about my story. And I was like, it was like completely off guard. I thought, oh man, yes, like, what? Yes, okay, cool. So I met up with him in the week, and again, we just carried on listening and. You know, we've started to build this really good friendship just by me not really saying anything at all, which is often, if you know me, some of you will, that doesn't happen very often. I love to talk, so it's a challenge in itself. So, we read through the Bible about God and God being love. It says that in the Bible, God is love. You know, and what a great way for us to just, like, sort of as an example for us, just to listen to people. A great way to love people is just by listening to them. And, you know, we're not in an argument if church comes up. You know, it did come up with this guy. He said, well, who are you down here with? So I mentioned who we were with. Quite easily, I could have sort of thrown everything at him and, like, straightened out. You know, he had some pretty crazy thinking about God. And I could have, like, pulled out this, like, 19-point preach and sort of set him straight right there in the pub. But actually, I just sort of turned it back. Said, why do you think what you think? You know, where's that thinking come from? And he sort of explained and sort of, it was great. You know, I didn't try and, like, argue my way through it. Terry Virgo, the guy that founded this church, amazing man, Joel Virgo's dad, tells a story of a friend of his in Mombasa who, through various connections, got to know an imam, which is an Islamic leader. You know, they used to meet up fairly regularly and Terry's friend would just listen to him. You know, tell me more about Islam, how you got here, how you got to, tell me more about your family. Just listening to him, like asking questions. This went on for a number of weeks. And then sort of later on, maybe a few months in, the guy turned around and said, hey, look, I've done loads of talking. Why don't you tell me about Jesus? And this guy, you know, over the course of a few minutes, explained the gospel, explained who Jesus was. And this imam just said, I want to respond to Jesus. I want Jesus. just through listening to him. Nothing special, nothing clever, no throwing the gospel at him straight away. Just listening, loving him, this guy responded to that. The book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament, is just basically a book full of wisdom. You know, it's great to read it and just really get hold of it. And I want to share two quick ones with you on this point. The first one's from Proverbs 18, says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And the second one is Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, if we find the right questions, we'll draw out people's passions. It won't be long before you find common ground that you guys can talk through. My dad used to say to me, think, listen, speak. Think, listen, speak. Quite, I needed really easy. It's so helpful to think about what they're saying, listen to what they're saying, and eventually speak. You know, we're not trying to throw stuff at people straight away. Okay, begin with prayer, listen. Now we move on to the E. I'm going to take a drink, so have a shout out. Exercise. No. Good, but not right.
Eat.
It really, everyone's like, what? Are you serious? Yeah, it's definitely eating. And food changes everything, right? Doesn't it? Everyone's like, yeah. You know, there's this mutual enjoyment that everyone understands. There's not like a, there's not hierarchy with food. It's food and it's food. Everyone, you know, it's the same. Whether you're eating a little snack or dinner, everyone's enjoying it. Who's feeling a bit peckish this morning? All right, I've got something for you. Dave's going to run around. Keep your hand up. Dave's going to run around, give some cookies out. Just a little present from me to you. Just, you know, to say thanks for having me and hopefully you'll like me. If you don't, then hopefully this will help. But, like, do you notice what's going on as well? Like, since I mentioned food and cookies came out, there's this, like, everyone sat up a bit straighter, big smile on their face, thinking, I don't want to miss out on this. Free food. This is amazing. You don't get that from a video, do you? And, you know, so everyone sort of listens a bit more. There's this sort of enjoyment, big smiles going on. You know, you go out for a beer or a coffee with someone, it's good. It lasts half an hour maybe, you know, and then you move on. But actually, you know, you go for a curry, you know, go for a burger or salad, whatever, if you enjoy that. It changes the dynamic, doesn't it? Like the food, you go out for a beer, it's great. You go out for curry and it's like there's this whole like deal that happens. You know, everyone's enjoying it. Everyone understands what going out for a curry looks like. You know, I don't know if you notice the conversation changes too. Like, you're sitting in a pub, drinking, and then the guy comes around, he's carrying, you know, 16 plates at once. And he's like, burger? And you're like, yeah. And he goes down, everyone gets all their food. And then, like, conversation, like, explodes. Like, you just go to this new level of excitement, and everyone's obviously excited by it, but new level of just chatting. And do you think, like, maybe that's a coincidence, just the way it is? You know, that's just the way food, that's what food does. I believe that it's not. I believe God gave us the gift of food to enjoy. Do you? Do you believe that? Good. I do. Everyone with cookies like, yeah. Did Jesus love food? Good. I feel like I don't even have to make this point now. We're going to have a look at two quick ones. Matthew 9 says this. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That's Jesus eating at Matthew's house, one of the disciples, just enjoying eating with everyone. People that society maybe don't look proudly on, you know, he's just eating with them because he knows there's this mutual ground. As everyone eats together, you get to know people better. You know, what about John 21, verse 9 says this. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. That's Jesus meeting up with the disciples for the first time since rising from the dead. What does he do? He doesn't stand up and preach at them. Just puts a barbecue on the beach and invites them all to come out and hang out. Jesus loved food. You guys have site lunches, right? Site lunches, I bet there's people that you've talked to that you've never talked to before or probably even after. But when you're queuing up for food, it's like, yeah, I've got a conversation. Look at those. Look at that. That pizza looks amazing. Like, you have these conversations. It doesn't matter what country you're from, what language you speak, what hobbies you enjoy. Stick a buffet out, everyone gets it. Everyone understands what the deal is. So food is definitely on the heart of God, which is amazing news for us. But how does it impact the community, you know, your community here in the race course and other communities for us in Shoreham? How does it change? Well, it brings people together. It makes it a family deal. You know, you invite someone to your house for dinner, like you're inviting them into your family home, becomes a family deal, Everyone's united. Maybe they won't come with you to church. Maybe you think, I don't think they'd come on a Sunday. But I guarantee if you said, hey, look, we've ordered Domino's and we're going to watch The X Factor. Do you want to come round? Like, feel free to do that. I'll be a good test dummy for you. We'll see if that works. But they'll come round. They'll do it. They'll do it. You know, we want to be a generous people. We want to be serving our community around us and not just cooking for people in this room, not just inviting sort of other Christians. Actually, we want to be serving our whole community. You guys do it amazing. You know, I lived over here for a year with Paul and A. Dawson. I just watched the way the community worked, and it was amazing to see. So let's keep doing that. Keep inviting neighbours and friends and others, work colleagues, mums from the school gate. Keep inviting them round for food. A quick final story on this. I used to play for a football team a few years ago, and we used to go to the pub after every game. And Sunday morning, play Sunday afternoon, go for a drink. Not everyone would come. There'd be 15, 16 of us, and maybe seven would come for a drink, and then we'd go off. We did this for about 6 months. Halfway through the season, I went to the pub landlord and said, hey, look, we come in here every week. If you put on food for us, I guarantee there'd be 15 guys coming in. We'd stay here for a while, have a couple of drinks. Bit of a cheeky request, but the guy was like, yeah, sounds great. What do you want? And I was like, just a big pot of pasta, mate. We're footballers. Like, it doesn't have to be any sort of special meal. We'll just come in and eat pasta. So he did that. And when we introduced food into that situation, we went from being just this sort of group of guys that kicked a ball around on a Sunday morning to like a group of mates, guys that, you know, I stopped playing for that team a few years ago, but guys that I still hang out with now, still see now. And I believe it's fully because we did that. We hung out together and ate food. So food is Christ-like, godly, missional, and it's awesome. Awesome. So let's recap. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, and then who can guess the first S? Sweet. I've just done food. You have to shout out a bit louder. I'm quite far away. Serve. We have a winner in the middle. Awesome. Serve. Serve. Not surf. Yeah, you did do that, but maybe not after eating. So, you know, we all need help. I bet there's been moments where you think, I could just do with an extra pair of hands for this, that. You know, maybe there's a financial help. Maybe it's, you know, maybe you need a healing. Maybe there's something that you're really struggling with and you need God to help you with that. Maybe it's just something that, you know, another neighbor or someone can help with. This is a great way for us to bless people, is just to serve and help, you know. The placement of the S here is really key, not only because it helps make a nice word, it wouldn't look good anywhere else, but actually you've sort of begun with prayer, you've really fought for them together, prayed for them, listened to them, eaten together. Now, by that point, you've probably heard, you know, we're really struggling with that, or we could really do with one of these, or someone to help us with this, you know. Really opportunity to sort of offer what you've heard from them. Another question, did Jesus serve? Did Jesus serve? Matthew 20, 28 is a great example of this. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life up for as a ransom for many. So, you read that, you're like, yeah, Son of Man came to serve by dying for us. Correct, he did. That was an amazing way to serve us. But we could miss something. We could skim this quickly this morning and think, and oh, that's how he served us. He came to die for us. That's the way he served. But the next slide shows sort of a different, just to emphasize something here. It says, and to give his life. So he served, and he served by giving his life. The text is quite subtle, but it's so helpful to look at it with that in mind. Actually, he came to serve us day to day. You read about him helping people wherever he went, but actually he then did give up his life as a ransom for us. So that's a great way of serving, but he served day to day as well. He didn't just turn up, you know, if he knew this was going to happen, he didn't just turn up and say, everyone serve me because I'm about to die for you. He was humble. He went about and served people day to day. I love the story recently. It was great to have Sharon up here earlier. I love that story recently of just going around, I don't know how long ago it was, but going around knocking on doors, asking if you can help, you know, and that leading to people connecting with you as a site. You know, maybe the people that I think they come occasionally or regularly, they might be in the room. You know, amazing way of just serving your community by just asking if you can help. It's amazing. It makes such a difference, you know. But I think one of the ways that we could come a cropper in this, it could be difficult. We could find ourselves thinking, "Oh, this isn't really working." Is pride? Sometimes pride can build up, and you think, "I don't want to show anyone that I need help. I'm fine. Everything's good. My life's awesome." You know, and it, you know, there are times you think, actually, yeah, that's true. I'm doing really well. Everything's great. How can I help you? But occasionally, we can find ourselves thinking, I don't need any help. I'm fine. And actually, you know, me included in this, we could all do with that extra pair of hands sometimes. You know, and if we see that cropping up as an issue, you know, there's a really helpful way of combating that. Just to ask someone for help. Ask someone for help. You know, that really knocks, that's a vulnerable thing. Hey, could you just help me do this? Move house, move this furniture, paint this room. You know, it's hard to do because it lets the guard down sometimes. And you think, oh, I wonder what they're going to think of me when I ask for help. But actually, you know, Jesus did this. Jesus asked people for help. And you feel a sense of ownership when you've helped someone as well. You know, so if you go around and put up a treehouse with them for their kids and you say, hey, how's the treehouse? The kids still enjoying it. You're invested into this relationship by helping. People feel an ownership. You get to know people better by helping them. You know, and it doesn't have to be anything big and fancy. It can be helping a neighbor in with shopping. It can be cleaning a car or maybe a financial gift. You know, if you know someone's, it can be any of these things. Actually, all these things are great ways to serve people. And as we look to Jesus, we'll look at him quickly here. Quick example of Jesus asking for help. Matthew 21, he asked his disciples to go and get him a donkey. Now, that's a strange request for your neighbor. They might not want to do that, but it's just an example of showing Jesus had no pride in these things. He had no pride inside him that stopped him from asking people to help him. So let's make sure we're doing the same. Some of you would have been involved in the Kemptown Carnival, I'm sure, clearing up and helping pick up rubbish. Another amazing way to serve your community. Find the need. Tom Oakton, some of you will know Tom Oakton from the New England site, was just walking around Kemptown, saw a planning meeting was happening, popped in and asked if he could help. That was his little serving idea. You know, as a small group, how, you know, I know you're changing small groups at the moment. I spoke to Stephen about that. It sounds amazing. Really excited to see how that works. But as a small group, how can you help your community? How can you guys think, actually, there's this thing happening. Let's go and help. Picking up rubbish is probably one of the hardest jobs to do because it's not really an upfront role. It's not really, no one really thanks you for it. But actually, what an amazing way to serve and just show how Jesus served just by doing the things that no one else wants to do. Just saying, I'll do that. We'll do that. 50 or so of you going around picking up rubbish, raising money as well. Amazing, amazing idea. Just re-listening with this guy at the pub, he chatted to me about some stuff that he was doing, some real community projects that he's trying to do at the moment and is struggling for people to help. So we said, we'll help. So there's a few of us going to go down and help him with it. He's building a community workshop to train people how to help them get back into work. And this guy's not a Christian, definitely won't come to church. He told me that very specifically the first time it came up. But actually, what a great way to just serve him. What a great way just to help build relationship in our community. So that's the next S done, serve. The final S, anyone? Oh, share, close. It's to do with sharing. Story, share story, it's very similar. Story is the one we've gone with. This is where we sort of bring the message that Joel's been talking about and the mission that we've been looking today, hand in hand. They join together at this point. Everyone in this room has a unique story. If we had time and lined everyone up and you all came up and shared a 2-minute story or 3-minute story, it'd all be so different. You'd talk about a journey, maybe how you got here, you know, family background, work, current family situation. All these things would make up your story. And if you're a Christian in the room, you'll be able to look back through your story up till now and see just God's grace running through your life. God at work, in the hard times, in the good times. I do that, look through situations I went through when I was younger and think, at the time, and even recently, you look back and think, why did that happen? And now you look back thinking, what was God doing? And so you're looking at your story in a totally different way. And, you know, we're not just going to go out and tell people our story, you know, knock on the door and start telling them your story. Hi, I'm Mike. This is my story. And we wouldn't do that. We're doing it on sort of the back of a relationship. So we've been through these here. We've got to know them. There's a friendship. They've probably told you some of their story. You know, people love to hear our story, especially when it's built on a solid relationship, solid friendship. They love to hear our story. And so how do you share your story? What's the practical way we can do that? Well, there's two helpful ways, hopefully, this morning. First one is learn to share your story in 30 seconds, or a story, sorry, in 30 seconds, and maybe a story in 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be your testimony. You know, when we have baptisms, often people come up and they share their journey that God's taken them on, a story of how they got from where they were to where they are now, which is amazing. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to share your testimony with everyone all the time. Sometimes it's appropriate, but why not learn to tell a story in 30 seconds? Maybe, you know, you're hanging out, or your sort of neighbor leans over the fence, says, hey, how are you doing? You get chatting and you get this sort of opportunity. You think, I could just share a little story. Maybe it goes something like this. Oh, it's been a tough week with this sort of unexpected bill come in, and so we prayed about it, and someone actually lent us the money to do it, or maybe even someone gave us the money to do it. What's that, 10 seconds? You've introduced our real life issue that everyone goes through, the concept of prayer and the concept of prayer being answered as well, all in 10 seconds. Really, really simple way of doing it. Maybe it's, you know, I sprained my ankle on Saturday playing with the kids. I went to church on Sunday and went and saw someone prayed for me, and I've actually had no pain since then. Sharing, you know, the same things as before, and healing, dropping these things in, real good things for people to get hold of. Now, it can be scary to do that. Like, it can. It's really not always going to be easy. But you need, remember, you're doing it on the back of building relationship. This isn't a one-step thing. Pray once, listen once, eat once, serve once, share your story once, turn around, go meet someone else. No. This is like we're building friendship and community. No matter what you believe, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're from different backgrounds or different cultures or speak different languages, community is important wherever you are. It's not just if you're a Christian. Community is important. You want to show people in this area that community is just important. For neighbours to know each other, to help each other, to serve each other, to be in each other's lives is important. Whether or not you have any similarities or not, it's important. So doing this is a way of helping not just the people you're doing it with, but then they would then go, you know, how often do you find yourself saying something someone else has said, or like having chatted to them, or doing something someone else has done? You know, if we're doing this, you know, they then do it with their family, you know, what an amazing thing to spread, like the importance of community and friendship. What an amazing thing, no matter what you're doing. So you're doing this on the back of relationship. Again, it's a God-given story. It's a God-given story. Share it. People love hearing it. Love hearing stories. You've got this great opportunity just to really show God through your story. There's a little danger here as we finish, that you go home and you go home with this story. I remember what you said at the end there, story. Not only does it do this, if we do that, which is a lot less memorable, but also like it can be a little bit intrusive as well. You know, I don't know if you've ever walked down the road and you sort of get those guys with the clipboards come up and say, save the donkeys. And you're like, no, thank you. I've got my headphones in. I'm clearly on a roll here. Why would you stop me? That's a bit intrusive. You know, we don't want to just go out and throw blank stories at people out of nowhere. And so we want this to have lasting aspects. It's not just for you as an individual this morning. I don't want you to go away thinking, this is what I need to do. Actually, this is what, you know, we want our small groups to be doing across the whole church. This is a community project, something we do together. Think about when you're praying for people, actually, isn't it like praying on your own, like we said at the beginning, is great. You get these real good times with God, really hearing from him. But then when you gather with other people and you start praying, it's different. It's got this different dynamic. It sharpens a different part of you. And it's so exciting when you're doing something like this, celebrating as a community, not like this, that's the wrong way around still. Celebrating as a community, really enjoying doing this, you know, amazing opportunity, like I said, the baby Thanksgiving, for everyone praying together and everyone celebrating together. You know, it's not one person saying, I was praying, it's all because of me. You know, it's because of Jesus. We get to celebrate these things. We get to enjoy them together. You know, I don't know how many people in the room here, but imagine if we've all got, you know, 10 people that no one else knows through work. Imagine all those connections. That's loads of people we can start to explain the importance of community to. I know that for us as a church, across all four sites, all eight services, we want to be a church that's known as a church that's a blessing to the local area. We want people to think, actually, that church is good. I'm so glad they're here. You know, so glad they're here. That's what we want to do with this. And we need to work out how we do this. I'm not saying, now I've said it, you should have it nailed by next week. Like, it's not like that at all. It's a new thing for us. We're all working this out together. You know, we're on probably most, I'm there to be honest, with most of the things, because I don't really know how this works yet. I'm trying it out, but we believe this is something God has called us to do. Believe that this is a direction that God's given us. You know, and the good news is, you know, for us, is that through the gospel, we've been blessed. We've been given all things. We've been given direct access to God. We're saved. We get to live for eternity. I think someone prayed that earlier. Live for eternity, you know, and actually through that, we've been blessed. We want to bless others. Matthew 10 won't come up on the screen. You know, freely we have received and freely we give. We want to be a people that give freely. You know, read the story of the early church in Acts. You know, those guys gave freely. They knew what it was to be a community together. We really want to do that, not just inside the church, but as a community and as an area in general. So what a great question to ask each other in small groups. Who are you blessing? With this in mind, who are you blessing? Easy question to ask, easy question to answer. You know, hey, look, you know, I'm just sort of on the L with this guy at work. We just sort of hang out at lunchtime and I listen to him. Great, keep praying. Just because you've prayed doesn't mean you don't have to do it again. These things are all important with each other, you know, but it's just a helpful thing for us. So as we close, the three M's, mission, message, and multiply, are the essential for us here as a church, essential for our city, because we know that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to every question in the city. Jesus is the answer to every struggle. We just want to tell people about it, help people to understand it, and really, like, we want to be doing this mission. It says in the Bible that he's building his church. What a great opportunity we've got to just do this with him, co-build with God, and co-build with Jesus as they build this church. So I'm going to hand over to Doug, who's going to lead us into communion.